Lesson from the letter of St. Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and throughout all and in us all, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart and with your whole soul and with your whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, David's. He said to them, How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David, therefore, calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one could answer him a word. Neither did anyone dare, from that day forth, to ask him any more questions. The saving words of the Gospel. Please kneel for your prayer for vocations. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. Many priests, brothers, and sisters who love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Mary, Queen of the Clergy,
pray for us, pray for our priests and
ministers, obtain for us. These are the fruits of fidelity, my friends, the fruits of fidelity. We are in the present crisis, as I call it, with capital letters, the present crisis, dealing with the fruits of infidelity. A stark contrast to what I have just been talking about. Today in the collect for this Mass, the first prayer, the first of the three great orations, we heard about diabolica contagia. You've probably heard the word contagion. It's like a disease, right? Contagion is disease. Diabolical disease has infected the body of the church. Now, this really shouldn't surprise us anyway. It could horrify us and give us great sorrow and anxiety and so forth at times. Nevertheless, it shouldn't really surprise us that the devil attacks the church and tries to infect the church. From the earliest years of the 20th century, various groups have had a consistent and conscious program to infiltrate the church through her hierarchy, through the priesthood and through bishops, in order to be able to twist the church away from her missions, like an infection. These various groups have names. One of them is International Masonry, Masons are in Europe are very different from the kinds of Masons that we have here. Sometimes when we think of Masons here, we think of Shriners and so forth who run children's hospitals and so forth. And they seem to be relatively benign. But this is not indeed the case with Masonry in the rest of the world. It is virulently anti-Catholic. I use the word virulently because it's like a virus. It's horrible. And they purposely set out to get seminarians, you know, get men into the priesthood, and into, therefore, who would then rise through eventually through the different levels of the hierarchy and then be able to exert a kind of malevolent influence. Another group were atheistic communists. There, as a matter of fact, there was even a book written about this, and a woman who testified at the McCarthy hearings back in the 50s talked about the conscious effort made to infiltrate the priesthood by getting young men into the seminary and so forth who would be ideologically still bent very far to the left, but then they from within the church would begin to twist her. And another group were homosexuals. They tried to get their as many people as they possibly could into positions of power. And now we are seeing the fruits, especially the evil, the wicked fruits of that infiltration now coming out like boils in the body of the church after this diabolical contagion. One of the ways that a body fights off disease is by getting a fever. The body raises its temperature to make the atmosphere, to make the environment of the body as little hospitable as possible for bacteria and viruses, to kill them off. The body has its immune system, of course, various antibodies in the blood and so forth, but fever is one of the ways in which the body fights off contagion. One of the ways in which we fight off contagion in the church is also through fire. It's through warming things up. We need now more than ever the burning fire of charity, love of God, love of neighbor. Love is not an ooey gooey feeling with eye gazing and so forth. So we use the word love rather loosely. You can love your kitty, right? You can love spaghetti. You can love the Cubs, as I'm sure all of you do. Love is more than that. What we mean by charity is a sacrificial love. It's a love which seeks first the good of the other. Love is more a choice than it is a feeling. You make an act of will to love another person. And this is precisely what it is that our Lord is calling us to. Love of God first, and love of neighbor. Everyone is our neighbor. Some neighbors are closer to us than others. For example, those of you in your family, those of you in your workplace, and your long friends and so forth of your life. These are very close neighbors. But everybody is a neighbor, even your enemies. Even those who wish us harm, even those who have consistently worked within the church to destroy her, we are called to love with sacrificial love, seeking the true good of the other. Now, we are all in this situation that we are in together. None of us are without a role to play in the heating up of the body of Christ in order to deal with the diabolical contagion that has infected it. We have to deal with the filth that is in the church. As Benedict XVI, you might remember back in 2005, some of you I'm sure will remember, that before he was elected Pope, the very last days of the life of John Paul II, Ratzinger, Joseph Cardinal Ratzinger, was the one who wrote the Stations of the Cross for Good Friday that year. And he talked about how much filth there is in the church. And he said, even among those who in the priesthood ought to belong entirely to him, how much pride, how much self-complacency. And then he went on to describe the church as a boat that seemed like it was about to sink, a boat taking on water on every side. We are all called to do our part in the boat. We are called to do our part in the body. We have to warm things up, and we have to bail as best we possibly can. I think the way to do this, principally, for your part, must be through acts of reparation, acts of real penance. Fire purifies. You think about how in the consummation of the world to come, the end days, as the letter of Peter describes, fire will be poured out and all things that are not of God will be consumed in fire. The world will be unmade in fire. All things that are not of God will be purified in that way. Fire purifies. Fire cleanses. What you need is to pour the fire of your love out onto the church now. Warm the body, which needs your help, needs your love, your charity, your acts of reparation, your acts of penance, your acts of expiation of sins that have been committed by priests and bishops. I think there's a great deal that priests and bishops can do and have to do in their vocations within the church, within their role in the hierarchy. But I really believe that this work has to be done. The real purification of the church must come from the baptized, faithful, performing charitable, through charity, performing works of reparation and expiation, just as Our Lady asked for at Fatima. This is going to be a heroic task. It seems like every 500 years or so, a terrible crisis grips the church. We think about 4 or 5 centuries in, about the heresies and so forth that tore the church apart. 500 years later, then there was the great schism of the East and the West, and 500 years after that, there was the Protestant revolt. And now we have come around in another great cycle, a great cycle of testing and trial, when the only thing that will keep us moving forward is charity, sacrificial love, truly seeking what is the good of the other, truly loving God, truly loving neighbor, even those of our neighbors who have done us so much harm. So I'm asking you now to stir up the fire of your own love for Holy Church. Make these acts of reparation like a kind of a holy napalm to spread out over the filth of the church, to cleanse it, to purify it, to raise us all back up. And please, in your goodness, in your love of the church, perform acts of reparation and penance for us all.